And so we come to our scripture readings, and the first reading is from Isaiah chapter 43, beginning to read at verse 15. I am the Lord, your Holy One, Israel's Creator and King. I am the Lord who opened a way through the waters, making a dry path through the sea. I called forth the mighty army of Egypt with all its chariots and horses. I drew them beneath the waves and they drowned, their lives snuffed out like a smouldering candle wick. But forget all that. It is nothing compared to what I'm going to do. For I'm about to do something new. See, I have already begun. Do you not see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness. I will create rivers in the dry wasteland. The wild animals in the fields will thank me, the jackals and owls too, for giving them water in the desert. Yes, I will make rivers in the dry wasteland so my chosen people can be refreshed. I have made Israel for myself, and they will someday honor me before the whole world. And then we turn to our gospel reading. We turn to Luke chapter 5 and beginning at verse 1. One day, as Jesus was preaching on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, great crowds pressed in on him to listen to the word of God. He noticed two empty boats at the water's edge, for the fishermen had left them and were washing their nets. Stepping into one of the boats, Jesus asked Simon to push it out into the water. So he sat in the boat and taught the crowds from there. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Now go out where it's deeper and let down your nets to catch some fish." "Master," Simon replied, "we worked hard all last night and didn't catch a thing. But if you say so, I'll let the nets down again." And this time, their nets were so full of fish, they began to tear. A shout for help brought their partners in the other boat, and soon both boats were filled with fish and on the verge of sinking. When Simon Peter realized what had happened, he fell to his knees before Jesus and said, "Oh Lord, please leave me. I'm too much of a sinner to be around you." For he was awestruck by the number of fish they had caught, as were the others with him. His partners, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, were also amazed. Jesus replied to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be fishing for people." And as soon as they landed, they left everything and followed Jesus. Ending here, we thank and praise God for his written word to us. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. Today's sermon will seem a little different, as we will be imagining that we are Peter, as he reflects on the momentous events happening all around him. And afterwards, there will be a short reflection. Let's just pause and pray. Father, we thank you for the Bible and the characters that we find within it. As we creatively engage with a passage that we have heard countless times, may you speak to us and call us into a deeper, fuller life with you. Amen.
Amen.
I remember that morning as if it were yesterday. so clear the memory is in my mind. Who would have thought that as I sat slumped on the cool sand of Galilee near the water's edge, my life's path was about to change dramatically forever? I certainly didn't. As I worked with my partners to mend and clean our empty nets, my thoughts were of the last few weeks and the remarkable events that had been occurring. A revival was underway due to the preaching of one man, John, the baptizer, we called him, who had seemingly sprung out of nowhere. People were turning back to God. Repent, the baptizer thundered, and people from all walks of life were doing so. My brother Andrew even left our family business for a while to follow this strange man around the countryside. Even the stuck-up Pharisees went out to check the baptizer, no doubt to inform him of how wrong he was. His response when he saw them was priceless. Brood of vipers heading my way, produce fruit in keeping with repentance. I'm sure that went down well, telling the Pharisees that they too had to change. And yet the most exciting thing about John was that he was constantly speaking about someone else. A person was coming, declared the baptizer, who was more powerful than he. A person whose sandals he was not fit to carry. A rumor started that the Messiah was finally going to arrive, that God at long last would send the deliverer for his people, just as he had done when he had sent our ancestor Moses. My partner John kept saying that this Messiah would be the one to dish out the punishment that was in store for those Roman pigs. Strange times. And then there was Jesus. Unbelievably, this rabbi from the backwater of Nazareth was the one who John claimed to be the deliverer. My brother Andrew was there when the baptizer first saw Jesus and called him the Lamb of God, whatever that meant. Andrew became convinced that this man, Jesus, was the Messiah and brought me to him. Yet when I met Jesus for the first time, I admit I was somewhat underwhelmed. I'm not sure what I was expecting the Messiah to look like, someone the size of King Saul, perhaps, but it wasn't how Jesus appeared. Jesus, smirking, gave one look at me and pronounced, "Simon, son of Jonah, your new name will be the Rock." Not the opener I had been expecting. We spent some time following the rabbi around before having to return to our family business. Once we were at a wedding with Jesus when he allegedly turned water into wine. Then, back home in Capernaum one Sabbath day, we heard Jesus preach and deliver a man possessed by a demon. I'll never forget what it cried. "I know who you are, the Holy One of God," it shrieked as it left the man. On that same day, Jesus healed my mother-in-law, who was feverish. We saw some amazing, unexplainable things as Jesus healed the sick and the lowly. This rabbi not only taught with authority, he lived a powerful life, lived in a way that made me ask myself difficult questions about my own life. It was a joy to be around him, but it was unsettling too. All these things were rolling around my head as I sat on the sand in the freshness of that morning, exhausted after a long night of fruitless labor. Suddenly, who should appear but the rabbi himself, Jesus? As usual, he was surrounded by a bustling, pushing crowd of people. I listened to him as he taught in that special way of his, so different to the other rabbis. Jesus' teaching always seemed to be full of life and color. He seemed to bring scripture alive instead of the usual rabbi's methods of giving you more rules to follow. Jesus was different. He seemed to notice you when he spoke, and he seemed to care. When Jesus taught about God, you felt most alive, as if your heart was burning within you. People couldn't get enough of him. So much so, in fact, that Jesus was finding it difficult to speak because of the press of the throng around him. So he got into my boat and brazenly asked me to put out a little from shore. To be honest, I was tired and just wanted to go home. But he had taken the time to pray over my mother-in-law, and I felt honour-bound, so I did as he asked. Aware of the beauty around me, I remembered again what the rabbis said about Lake Galilee. Although God has created seven seas, yet he has chosen this one as his special delight. With the gulls squawking overhead and the sun glistening off the sea behind him, Jesus taught the people on the shore, holding them captivated for much of the day. When Jesus had finished teaching, I expected him to ask me to take him back to land, but instead he turned to me and, with a twinkle in his eye, commanded, "Put out into the deep water and lay the nets for a catch." Now, I feel that I'm a good and reasonable man, but I was exhausted by that point and fairly angry with his order. What do rabbis or carpenters know about fishing? My partners and I had fished all night and caught nothing. And everyone knows that you can't fish during the daytime. I pointed this out to Jesus, but he said nothing. After a moment's pause, I held my tongue and conceded, "But because you say so, I will let down my nets." Immediately, unbelievably, there was a slight tug as a fish was caught, followed by a major pull on the net. My brother Andrew and I were overjoyed as the nets began to fill up with fish, sardines, mustfish, catfish, and others. Still they kept coming, and suddenly our nets began to break. Our joy turned to horror at the thought of losing this once-in-a-lifetime haul entered our minds. In alarm, we shouted for help to our partners, John and James, and soon they were involved. Still the fish kept coming. Both boats were becoming so full with fish that they began to sink. I noticed Jesus out of the corner of my eye, standing there with a grin on his face. I suddenly felt crushed, like someone had winded me. In that instant, I realized that my life had revolved around myself and my work. Any spare parts left over were given to God and religion. Yet here was a man who was different, a man whose life was totally given over to God, a holy man. I fell to my knees and declared, "Go away from me, Master. I am a sinful man." Jesus looked deep into my eyes and whispered, "Don't be afraid." And I immediately felt a release. In his next breath, he said the statement that changed the path of my life forever. "Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." My head spun at the implications. Here was a rabbi, a holy man, who wanted me to become one of his apprentices. Like all Jewish boys, I had gone through my education at our synagogue until the end of Bet Sefer, the first stage of a religious education. Although I had hoped to progress to the next stage, I was rejected when I was 10 years old by the local rabbi for not being good enough, and so followed my brother into our father's fishing business. Now, instead of being rejected by a rabbi, I was being chosen by one to become his disciple. I didn't know what it would bring. I wasn't certain if I would be good enough. I didn't even know what he meant by us becoming fishers of men. All I knew was that Jesus was giving me an invitation. "Don't be afraid. Come, follow me." Instantly, I dropped the nets and followed him. The calling of Peter has a message for us this morning as we reflect upon it, nearly 2,000 years after the event. For the same Jesus who called Peter all those years ago still calls to people today. Normal people. People like us. But perhaps we don't feel we're good enough, not spiritual enough, not sure enough for Jesus to call us. Perhaps we're weighed down by guilt at how we've lived our lives and the mistakes we've made in the past. If we think like this, then we're in good company. Peter gave one look at himself and declared that he was a mess, a sinful man. Yet Jesus gave one look at Peter and said, "Come, follow me." Why did Jesus call Peter? Peter wasn't an educated man. He, like his fishermen friends, had already been rejected by the synagogue. He wasn't anyone important. Yet Jesus called him. Why? I can think of at least two reasons. Firstly, because Simon had the right attitude towards himself. He was a sinful man. We too are sinful, broken people. Yet acknowledging this is not a weakness. It's simply stating the obvious. And if our brokenness is not obvious to us, it's almost certainly obvious to those around us. Yet broken, sinful people are just the kind of characters that God seems to delight in calling. The second reason I can see is that not only did Peter have a right attitude towards himself, but he had the right attitude towards Jesus. For he made himself available to Jesus. Even if he didn't think he was good enough, he still dropped everything when Jesus called to him. And that's really challenging for me. Do we have that same attitude? Do we make ourselves available for Jesus to work through us? Or do we live for ourselves and give the leftovers to God? The exciting thing about God is that he keeps calling us. If we've been his follower for a long time, Jesus is still calling us to follow him, to travel into a deeper and more intimate walk with him, to give more of our life over to him, to experience more of his presence and his power in our lives. And if we have not yet decided to take that plunge, to step out in faith and entrust our life to him, Jesus is calling us. Let's learn from Peter. Let's have a right attitude towards ourselves and to be humble in admitting our brokenness. And let's have a right attitude towards Jesus in the week ahead to be available to him. For in Jesus, God has made himself available to us. Jesus is always calling us. May we be listening. Amen.